We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your Senior Care Consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. We have a wonderful program today with two special guests in studio, Mr. David Wiley. He's the President and CEO of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, and Dr. Lisa Bernard. And David and Dr. Bernard, welcome to Senior Care Live.
Thank you, Steve.
Good to be here today, Steve. Thanks.
All right. So in a previous episode, David, you mentioned that April 16th was National Healthcare Decisions Day, and then the entire month of April is also designated as a recognition of National Healthcare Decisions Month. So will you tell us why it's such an important topic that needs to have a national recognition?
Absolutely, Steve, and you're right. National Healthcare Decisions Month is observed every year in April, and it's really so important because, you know, there are times when you might need to make decisions about your healthcare but be incapacitated to make them. So this day is set aside to help you take care of these potential situations ahead of time. It's a day for patients to make known to healthcare professionals the kind of care that they wish to receive and those wishes so they can be respected and met. You know, we meet a lot of people at a time when they're making critical decisions in their lives about healthcare and other very personal, very important personal areas. So, you know, we felt like this is another valuable topic that deserved more discussion. So that's why we're talking about it today. I'd love to introduce Dr. Bernard to the conversation. Lisa was born and grew up in Kansas City. She attended undergraduate at Colorado College and attended medical school at Kansas University. And she completed her anesthesiology residency at St. Luke's Hospital. And then also in Kansas City had a very successful 30-year career in anesthesia at Research Medical Center, which is here in Kansas City. And then she retired from her medical career 2 years ago and has been exploring her interest in hospice, and I'm excited to let you know that she's part of our professional advisory committee as a volunteer, which we certainly appreciate.
All right, and she's a KU Jayhawk, so she's
yes,
got to be good. So, all right. So with that, I'd like to hear more from Dr. Bernard about her thoughts in this area. Dr. Bernard, thank you so much for being here. And I'd really love for you to tell us more about your experience and why is this so important for people to talk about with their families?
Well, thank you, Steve, for the opportunity to talk about this important topic of making decisions ahead of time before there is a crisis. Because a crisis can tear a family apart. I hope people can think of advanced planning as a gift that they give their families. And I'd like to divide this into two key areas, really. The first area is advanced care planning for healthcare options or for healthcare decisions. And that's just what that day is all about in mid-April that you mentioned. Now, this might include life-sustaining treatment decisions, which are best to be addressed ahead of time and not at the moment of crisis, because most of us are not going to have the capacity to address these issues at the end of our life. So one of the treatment is intubation, and this decision usually needs to be made in an instant, but it can have long-term implications, and that's what I want to talk about here. Intubation is the placement of a breathing tube in the airway and will require a breathing machine, or otherwise known as a mechanical ventilator. If it's needed for more than 7 to 10 days, then the patient will need a tracheostomy, which is a surgical procedure. And I've been involved in countless trachs, and they are not without risk. I've had many tense moments with those. There's another issue with long-term intubation, and that's placement in a long-term care facility. Most facilities are not equipped to manage a ventilator, so it can be difficult to find placement. Another decision is chest compressions, and chest compressions were designed originally to maintain blood flow for patients in acute and treatable settings, who are likely to make a full recovery, as in a heart arrhythmia, like the football player had last winter on the Buffalo Bills. Or another setting is an overdose. But chest compressions were not designed to prolong the existence of terminally ill patients. I had an elderly end-stage pancreatic cancer patient in the ICU several years ago, and her heart stopped, and a code was started. And I'll just say here that code blues are not clean and slick like they are on TV. They are messy, they are violent, they are intense. And I remember thinking, and I probably even said it out loud, is this what she would have wanted? And when the family wanted to continue to do everything, I asked that some family members be brought in to see what we were really doing. And at that time, they elected to stop the code. Mm-hmm. It used to be we would usher family members out as quickly as possible to spare them the trauma. But there's a move now for the family to observe to see exactly what happens. Another decision is regarding IV hydration and nutrition. We all need to realize that in a terminally ill patient, the body is going to shut down. And the natural reaction of the family is to want to feed and give fluids, and I get that. But there are risks involved with that. It can cause aspiration in a patient that doesn't have an intact swallowing mechanism, and that can lead to aspiration pneumonia. Also, in the presence of a failing heart or kidneys, excess fluid can cause fluid backup and pulmonary edema. So another discussion to have is about a DNR, which stands for do not resuscitate, which is a decision not to have heroic measures in a futile setting. I prefer the term AND, which stands for allow natural death. This term, in my mind, suggests passively allowing death to naturally occur without futile interventions. And in my opinion, the semantics make it easier on the family because it's often easier to withhold treatment than withdraw treatment, such as taking a patient off a ventilator. I'd also like to add that it's incumbent on the patient and the patient's family to make sure that all the healthcare personnel are aware of an AND or a DNR. I was once called to the floor of a patient who was coding. We intubated her, moved her to the unit, and put in several invasive lines only to find out she was a no-code.
Oh, boy.
And yeah. I just felt terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So you spelled everything out very, very clearly. Some of these options, you know, do you want heroic measures taken? Do you not? And that's just one of the reasons why it's so important. So if someone does not plan for this or make these decisions, how can that affect their family?
Well, Steve, it will definitely impact someone's family. And here are some of the ways that I've noticed. There can be indecision and family conflict. Because if no discussions have taken place, the burden is then on the family to decide the care. And it's easier to follow directions of the loved one than it is to have to choose the direction.
And that's why you said earlier, it's a gift.
It is a gift.
Because you are relieving the family of making some terrible, not terrible decisions, but very, very difficult decisions.
That's exactly right.
Who wants to say, turn the ventilator off on their mother or their father? No one wants to do that. So that's why it's a gift.
Right. And what you're mentioning is family dynamics. Family dynamics come into play. There may be a family member who says, do everything for mom. I wasn't a good son when mom was healthy, so I'm going to be there for her now. There's also the opposite reaction of avoidance. I was involved with a patient who was burned and spent 3 months in the hospital, wasn't likely to recover, and the wife wasn't visiting, not responding at all. So the situation was referred to the ethics committee, who recommended stopping treatment, and the patient died 12 hours later. Well, the next day, interestingly, the wife called the medical personnel and thanked them for making the decision that she couldn't make.
But so. She wasn't there because she was just avoiding it because she just could not. It sounds like she shut down. She was just incapable of making that significant of a decision. It's a life and death decision.
That's exactly right. And we don't know how our family will respond. You may have blended families with stepchildren and half-siblings, and it can cause a lot of conflict.
Well, and where I see these things happen a lot of times, different scenario, but kind of the same situation is as far as the dynamics is you can have several family members and they all want the best, but they may have a different opinion on what the best is. And so that causes some of the conflicts and that sort of thing. And so again, making your wishes known well in advance, that's why that is such a gift. And we're going to talk more about this coming up next. But first, the Senior Care Live question of the week. Once someone has initiated hospice care, their advanced care planning no longer matters. Once someone has initiated hospice care, their advanced care planning no longer matters. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to SeniorCareLive.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Once someone has initiated hospice care, their advanced care planning no longer matters. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is false. The answer is false. And David, why is that statement false?
Well, you know, Steve, once someone's admitted to hospice, their goals of care are really critically important and help our team create what's called the plan of care. And then our interdisciplinary team, which includes a hospice physician, oversee that plan of care so that each of our team members are aware of the patient's wishes. You know, many families continue to have the hospice team consult with the family physician as needed. And your advanced care planning is as important as ever.
Okay. And that, you know what, that's really good. I bet a lot of people they probably didn't understand that. And I think it was a great question, and I think it's really good information, very helpful. So if this is resonating with you, if you're interested in learning more about what we're discussing today, maybe you want to look into hospice or palliative care services, or maybe just have a question about something that might be related, reach out to the great team at Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care at 816-363-2600 or visit online. It is a loaded website, and it is. It's loaded with just phenomenal information and a lot of really great information. You can find that at kchospice.org. All right. So, Dr. Bernard, we were talking about how it affects the family if someone doesn't plan for or make these decisions in advance. And I think you had a couple of more thoughts on that.
Well, Steve, I just want to say that if a family proceeds full steam ahead, possibly against your wishes, they can actually cause increased pain and discomfort and delay palliative and comfort care. And they can also lead to robbing the patient and the family of meaningful moments like closure and resolution of issues between the patient and their family members. I'd like to mention, too, that docs are not taught how to have difficult discussions with patients. It's often easier to offer a difficult or a long-shot treatment than to have tough discussions. A few years ago, we started dialysis on a 91-year-old woman with dementia who lived in a nursing home. And I'm thinking that the doctor probably didn't have much of a discussion with that family. So that's why many hospitals are going to a palliative care team, because these people are very skilled at managing challenging family dynamics and providing comfort care.
You know, I think Dr. Bernard makes some really good points. The real value of making healthcare decisions ahead of time and then, of course, sharing them really cannot be overstated. From a patient health perspective, it's so smart and it's so much easier on the patient, on the family, and the physician to have discussed these things well in advance.
All right, that is excellent. And Dr. Bernard, you mentioned a second area of advanced planning earlier in the program. What is that second area?
The second area is formulating funeral or celebration of life plans. And that can look like a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But I have a few suggestions. The first one is to prepay. After you pay, the cost can never go up. And a funeral home friend of mine told me recently he processed a funeral paid for in 1977 for $774.
Oh, my gosh.
And now it can cost $10,000 to $12,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So prepaying avoids family conflict because dysfunctional family dynamics can surface at stressful times like a death. Guilt comes into play. One family member may want to spend a lot as a means to make up for prior bad behavior. Then there's always the question of who pays. Maybe not all the kids are able to pay right now, and the estate may not be settled for a while. So prepaying is invaluable. Another thing you can choose ahead of time is the type of service that you want. Do you want burial or cremation? Do you want graveside? Do you want a military service? And if that's the case, you need to make sure that your discharge papers are readily available to your family. And the obituary is another suggestion I have. Write it ahead of time and have control over how you want to be remembered. There are resources online where you just fill in the blanks regarding your bio, your accomplishments, where you want contributions to go. Pick out your songs and pictures ahead of time, because remember, it's how you want to be remembered. And with pre-planning, everything is easier. Family conferences are shorter. They're less emotionally charged. My in-laws pre-planned their arrangements, and it was a breeze. So I leaned heavily on my parents to do so, and it took them about an hour.
You know, I think, again, Dr. Bernard's so right. These conversations are so meaningful to have with family members or close friends while you're alive, and you can have input into your service, like you mentioned, and you could actually even write your own obituary. I mean, that's a total control right there, which I think is great. I too remember my parents. My dad died in the 80s, the late 80s. My mom paid for everything in advance, and she lived till 2011. And it was just any decision that's made and done before you get to that moment is just so, so, so helpful.
Well, and it is a gift, as we had mentioned earlier, and I've heard so many people express it that way. You know, prepaying, everything was planned out. All they had to do is just follow the plan, and they made it really pretty simple. So, David and Dr. Bernard, you've shared a lot of great information today about how vital it is for people to take advanced care planning seriously. What's the best way for our listeners to learn more about this important subject?
Well, I hope you can see why making your wishes known is an important gift. It provides some control in situations that are beyond our control. It leaves room for what matters most, and it reduces family conflict. So I'd like to offer a couple of websites for people on the advanced care planning side. The first is caringinfo.org, and I also like 5wishes.org.
Caringinfo.org, it really is a terrific site, and that's a program of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, and we often refer people there as well in order to help guide them through that process steps.
Okay, so if someone's driving or not able to take this information down, can they find this on your website, or should we direct them back to Senior Care Live?
Absolutely. They can join our website, and we're happy to provide that information. They can call us, and we can put them in touch with the right person in order to help answer their questions.
All right. Caringinfo.org what David described that as, just a terrific site, and that's the program of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, and that's where Kansas City Hospice refers a lot of folks there as well. So, again, reach out to Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care at 816-363-2600. That's 816-363-2600, or online at kchospice.org. And David, you mentioned earlier that National Healthcare Decisions Day is April the 16th. And so that's pretty easy to remember. Taxes on the 15th.
Right.
Taxes on the 15th, and then take care of these important advanced directives on the 16th, and you'll be set.
Absolutely. And I think it's always really important to revisit those decisions. You have a lot of life changes that happen along the way, and you want to make sure that all things are directed in the right place to the right people. It's really important.
And so this isn't just a one-and-done document. Just review that every single year. Taxes, and then review your plans.
Absolutely. It's important to do.
All right, Mr. David Wiley and Dr. Bernard, thank you so much for being here today. You did a great job. Excellent information. I really appreciate you both for coming in today.
Thank you, Steve. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, great to be here.
All right, we'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we ran out of time last weekend, Memorial Day weekend, to talk about something that I usually talk about right around Memorial Day every year. And also talk about this usually around Veterans Day and then sometimes in between. This is a really hot button for me. This is a program for veterans and their surviving spouses that I think most people still do not have any idea about this program or that they may qualify. So in honor of all of the veterans that we have lost over the years, their surviving spouses, and all of the veterans who are still with us, and thank you for your service. We cannot thank you enough. I want to discuss the VA aid and attendance benefit. Now, this isn't a service connected in the disability and a percentage and all of that stuff. Okay, this is something very, very different. This is a separate program designed to help you pay for the high cost of senior care. And it's a thank you for serving. And if you qualify for this program, they're going to pay you. And it's a lot of money. Okay, so let's start to unpack this. So first of all, the VA aid and attendance benefit is financial assistance to help veterans or their surviving spouse pay for the high cost of senior care. It's as simple as that. It's very specific. So we have some requirements. We have some hoops that we have to jump through. And again, for so many people, they've already jumped through these hoops. They qualify and they don't even know about it. So that's why I want to, I'm constantly talking about this. I review this with every single senior care consulting client and family, every single time. Okay, it's that important. So the requirements, you must require help with at least two activities of daily living. There is a service requirement, and then you have financial criteria requirements. So let's go ahead and break this down. The service requirement, at least 90 consecutive days of active duty. I can already hear people right now, well, Steve, my dad was in for 4 years. So yeah, we've got that one covered. And most veterans do. So at least 90 consecutive days of active duty, at least 1 day. It could be the very last day. Just 1 day during a period of war. And I will discuss those date ranges here in just a second. Not dishonorably discharged. So you can have an honorable discharge, and there are a lot of other types of discharges. You're okay as long as it's not dishonorably, okay? Income, your monthly income is less than the cost of care. That qualifies you for the maximum benefit. And again, that's pretty easy to hit. I'll give some examples in a minute. And then liquid assets. So we talk about Medicaid a lot on this program. So this is kind of similar. It does not include your house, your car, all the stuff in your house, just liquid assets. Again, checking, savings, money market, mutual funds, CDs, 401ks, IRAs, liquid assets of $150,538 or less. That's the 2023 number. But Steve, I mean, dad has $200,000. Okay, that's great. Once he spends down and hits that $150,538, boom. He just cleared that hurdle. Okay, must require assistance with at least 2 activities of daily living. What that is, and I've got a list here. If you're paying someone to help you with at least 2 of these functions here, then that clears that hurdle. Okay, so the options are bathing, mobility and transferring, incontinence support, eating, toileting, dressing, medication management, and meal preparation. So if you have a home care company coming into your house and helping you take a bath, preparing some meals, giving you medication reminders, maybe helping you get dressed, that's 4 things right there. You checked 4 boxes. So, I mean, if you need any help at all, it's pretty easy to check at least 2 of these boxes. Okay, the payment. And if you're driving or if you're not able to take a note, you can give me a call and I'll give these to you over the phone, or I can email them to you, whatever you'd like. These are the 2023 reimbursement amounts. A single veteran would receive a maximum of $2,229 per month. That is a really big deal. $2,229 a month. So if you're down to that $150,000 in liquid assets, and let's say, let me figure out some easy math here. Let's say that your income plus this $2,229 a month, let's say that comes, they both total $5,000. And let's say your assisted living community is $6,000. That means that you're short by $1,000. So that's your burn rate, your $150,000 divided by $1,000 a month. That means that limited nest egg of $150,000 plus your income would keep you in an assisted living community for 150 months. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. A married veteran, maximum $2,643 per month. Now, what if you're married to a veteran and then that veteran passes away and you're the widow or widower? The surviving spouse would receive a maximum of $1,318 per month. And if you have 2 married vets qualifying for the VA aid and attendance benefit, that's a maximum of $3,536 per month. So it's just such a big deal. This is just free money. It's not free. This is a thank you for your service. So many people don't know anything about this. That's why I talk about it all the time. The official dates for the periods of war. Let me just cover that. I still work with a lot of World War II clients. World War II, December 7th, 1941, of course, all the way through December 31st, 1946. So if you served one day, if your first day in the service, active duty, was on December the 31st of 1946, you would qualify, just one day. The Korean War, June 27th, 1950, all the way through January 31st, 1955. All right, Vietnam War, I'm starting to work with more and more Vietnam veterans. August the 5th, 1964. All the way through May the 7th, 1975. Now, during any of those periods of war, you didn't have to be on the battlefield. You may have never shot a rifle. You could have been in a support role, maybe in logistics or communications or IT or some other type of a role. Okay, you qualify. But there's one exception. If you did have boots on the ground in Vietnam, that qualification period backs all the way up to February 28th, 1961. If you had boots on the ground in Vietnam, that means you were in on the battlefield. Okay? If you did not have boots on the ground, then that time frame starts 1964, August the 5th, 1964. Okay, and for both groups, ends May 7th, 1975. So hopefully that was not too complicated. Okay, who can help you explore these benefits and even qualify and fill out the forms and everything? The VFW, the national headquarters of the VFW, will help any veteran or family of a veteran. You don't even have to be a member of the VFW. That number is 816-968-1153. And they will help you fill out that form and send in a clean claim, and they're happy to do so. That's a direct number. Again, to the national headquarters of the VFW, 816-968-1153. And with that, I hope that helped you out. I know it did for a lot of people. I have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right, so I'm going to shift gears, and this may sound strange. I'm going to brag about my new website. How about that? So this was a long time in development and in the making, and I think the wait was worth it. Been working with a wonderful company. As you know, Senior Care Consulting, we're just really breaking out, making a lot of improvement throughout everything, and we are expanding nationally. Okay, through franchising. So, along with all of these changes, I'm like, you know what, we need a brand new website. And this thing, it's just like Christmas vacation. She's a pretty one, Clark. Right? This thing looks great. I love this website. The company I'm working with did a great job. We worked together. We collaborated on this. And it really turned out great. So I would invite you to check out my brand new website at SeniorCareConsulting.com. That's with an ING, SeniorCareConsulting.com. And when I got used to looking at this in development, then I looked at my other website and I'm like, oh, I guess that one was okay, but this one's so much better. So, and I'll have to make an admission here. My original website was just not set up very well for the search engine optimization, so it was kind of hard to find. And what that means is when you go online, maybe you get on, you know, Google.com or whatever search engine that you're using, and maybe you type in, you know, I need a senior care consultant in Kansas City or in, you know, wherever. And Senior Care Consulting just was not showing up at the top of these searches, or find assisted living in, you know, wherever, Overland Park, Kansas, or Kansas City, Missouri, or wherever it is. Okay, it just was not showing up. It was not performing very well. So, and these days, if you don't show up online, if people can't find you online when doing these searches, you don't exist. And I knew I had to do something about it. So again, I worked with a wonderful company. They created this really, really great website. It's so helpful. It's beautiful. It has movement. I just love it. And it just covers everything that I wanted it to cover. This thing is turbocharged behind the scenes to perform very well in the world of search engine optimization. Now, it takes a while for the Google gods, the algorithms and all of these search engine algorithms, it takes a little while to start climbing in the ranks. But very, very soon, senior care consulting will organically, naturally start showing up at the top of all of these searches, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So you go to the homepage and there it talks about, and this thing is loaded with a lot of really helpful information on assisted living, memory care, long-term care, defines continuing care, retirement community. And it talks about senior care consulting that meets your needs. And it talks about our process, and you can learn more about that. Why we're different and why choose us. You can learn more about how senior care consulting is so much different and, frankly, so much better than the free referral services. It talks about that. It lays it out in black and white, and you can make your decision from there. It says, use our resources. Learn more. One of the most beneficial tools you can use during the difficult process of finding the right senior care community for your loved one is to learn as much as you can about senior care communities, cognitive and physical limitations, and the benefits of a company like Senior Care Consulting can provide. It just talks about all of that. It also talks about owning a business that makes a difference. Because people who are interested in owning and in opening, owning and operating their own business, their own senior care consulting business in their town, in their city, in their state, they want to know about this as well. So there's some information on that. You can find information on the nationally syndicated radio program Senior Care Live. You can go to listen now and stream the program right through seniorcareconsulting.com. You could also access all of the most recent Senior Care Live podcasts. The numbers are staggering. It talks about all kinds of just mind-numbing statistics. I mean, the numbers really are staggering. There is a blog section. There is an area where you can sign up to stay in touch and sign up for our monthly newsletter. You can reach out to learn more about the services through contact forms. It has the hours. It has the email, the phone number, the social media links. It is all there. And then it talks about senior care consulting and about what we do. It talks about how we come to you. We don't make you come to our office. We come to you for your convenience. That's just part of the red carpet that we roll out. It talks about me and my background. And then why choose us? Why choose us? The senior care consulting difference. And it talks about how we represent you. We do not receive reimbursement from any senior care community. That's a gross conflict of interest. And then there is what I feel is a devastating chart. And it says, which approach is best for you? If you have any questions or any doubt, go to seniorcareconsulting.com, why choose us, and scroll to the bottom of the page. It says, which approach is best for you, senior care consulting versus the free referral services? And I'll just read a couple here. I won't dwell on this, but it is, for the free referral service, this compare and contrast is devastating. Senior care consulting, we work directly for you and represent you and your family. The free referral services, they work for area facilities and represent them. They're free to you because they don't work for you. That's how that little section starts off, and it goes on from there. It talks about the types of senior care, so that's a lot of that educational part. Okay, it talks about Senior Care Live. It talks about resources, e-newsletters, frequently asked question section. There are two or three of those throughout the website. There's a franchising section talking about franchise opportunities. Talks about some numbers of the industry and how it's growing. It just the numbers are crazy. Why franchise with us? It talks about what to expect on your franchise journey. And then locations. And right now, this is the one I might be most excited about. Right now, there's one location in Kansas City, serving Kansas and Missouri and the Northland. But this location's part of this brand new website, it's designed to hold up to 1,000 locations. Okay, so we're just getting started on that. But anyway, check out the website. I hope you like it. Give me your feedback and let me know what you think. All right, I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.